My scripture reading is in Matthew 24, starting at verse 3. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these blessed scriptures. That Heavenly Father, let us know of things that lie ahead. And Heavenly Father, we know that it is your intent that we know, at least to a degree, these things that are coming. And that you want us to be prepared and watching. And Heavenly Father, waiting for the second return of your only begotten Son, Yeshua. And in all these things, we want to praise you and glorify you. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. Today I would like to focus on a specific area of the Bible, a specific topic. And I chose for my message title today, Signs and Wonders. We've spoken of some of this a month or so ago. We want to speak to it more. And when we think about the end time, the great and terrible day of the Lord, then we know that there's many prophecies concerning this. There are many opinions and beliefs. And we would like to shed light on what we can, because we are constantly in the learning mode. Each day of our life, we find out new things. And hopefully, they are all the truths that Yahweh would have us come to believe and come to know. Signs and wonders. Genesis 1 and 4 reads like this: "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.'" So we know from these scriptures that the heavens as well as the earth was made by God at creation. We know that everything that was done has its own purpose and place, and that we know from this and several other verses all through God's Word that God evidently uses the things of nature and of the heavens to not only show us signs and wonders of the time so that we will recognize them when they start happening, but that it is a type of warning from God of things to come, of when the end is getting closer. So obviously it's His purpose and intent for us to be watching and waiting and prepared for the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Yeshua, the only begotten Son of Yahweh the Father. I want to lay a little bit of a foundation for what we're going to find out about or discuss. And we know from Leviticus 23 that there are appointments that we have with God, with Yahweh. He wants to spend more time with us. And evidently, just the weekly Sabbath, even though it occurs one day each week, always on the seventh day of the week, obviously that's not enough. And we know from our walk with Him that it's not enough. We need to spend moments each day, every day of our life with Him and thinking of His way and the truth that He has for us to walk in. But when we think of the expanse of the heavens separating the day and night, and that they are for signs and seasons and days and years, then we know that these things are true, that there is only one moon, one new moon every month, and the new moon day of each month is the first day of the month. That is in God's way of reckoning and setting time. The new moon of each month is God's way of setting the first day of each and every month. Observance of the new moon is God's way of setting the months, the appointed festival days, and the seasons. There is only one new moon festival, appointed time, a high Sabbath day, in any year. And this is always the festival of trumpets, the new moon of the seventh month, which is also known as Tishrei. Now notice, this particular festival comes on the first day of the month, not the middle of the month, like most of them are at the night of the full moon. But it's the first day of the seventh month of every biblical year. Also, there's two Hebrew words that are used in regard to the appointed days, the feast or festival. In the King James Version, what we are speaking of that we're referring to as festival days is called feast. It simply means a day of remembrance of what God has done, what He's going to do, and what lays ahead. The feast means a festival, a joyous occasion. Some are more joyous than others. Some are solemn. Some are fast days. But all are for God's purpose. And all are a type of commemorative of what God has done and is going to do, and what He has for us in the future. Note, the first of the moed, well, these two words are moed, meaning set times, appointed days, or times. And chag, C-H-A-G, means feast or festival. The first of the moed appointed days or set times is each weekly Sabbath. And you can refer to Revelation chapter 23, and it will tell you basically as clear as any place in the Bible when your appointment days are with the Lord, how they are established, what order they come in. And these are the set times, appointed days, in which we have these festivals. The rest of the appointed times, other than the weekly Sabbath that's given in Leviticus 2 and 3, the rest of the times of the Lord are recorded in other places. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and Exodus 12 and 23. But let's go back to this year, the year 2014. It has historic and prophetic significance. Let's look at what Jesus in Luke 17, 26 through 30. Let's look at what that is about. Jesus himself in Luke 17 and 26. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. And you think there, the Sodom and Gomorrah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. And of course, that's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's talking about the great and terrible Day of the Lord. And there's other expressions used for that. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, starting at the 7th verse. And remember, our focus is on the signs and wonders that God uses to reveal His plan to us and to warn us of things sometimes coming very quickly and shortly. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one, who is the great of all the lawless ones? We're speaking of Satan, aren't we? Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Are we saying that someone else other than Yahweh or one of his workers will be doing signs and wonders? Are we saying that Satan is going to be able to do signs and wonders too? Yes, this verse lets us know that. Let's go on further. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Wow. Do you know anyone like that? Boy, sad. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. And I'm sure not knowing or realizing that it was not the truth, and was a type of wickedness. We're speaking of Satan's deceptions. And deceptions in various times, certain specific times, signs and wonders. Deceptions of Satan. Let's look at Revelation 13, 13, and 14. It's going to tell us something more about the great deceiver, Satan, with evil signs and wonders at that time. Revelation 13 and 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. Would you believe a person that was able to do that? Would you believe they were of God? Or would you recognize that they could be of Satan? And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. See how deceptive Satan is, and things that are to come in the future. Let's go to Hebrews 2 and 1 through 4. Hebrews 2. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. How thankful that we should be of those gifts that God gives us through and with his Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. In 2014, this year, for the first time in recorded history of the world, there begins the first of the four, what is called or referred to as the beginning of the four blood new moons. And what are we speaking of, and what makes them described as blood moons? Well, obviously, it has to do with what you see visually with your eyes when you look at the moon at that particular time. And it has to do with a total eclipse of the moon. That is, makes a blood new moon. And it's with also in this particular time period, between these four blood new moons, it's a complete eclipse of the sun between those. What happens when you eclipse the moon? What's visible besides the moon looking like blood? Things get sort of dark, don't they? And what happens when an eclipse, a total eclipse, happens of the sun? Darkness. So we have four blood new moons that are starting quickly. The first starts this year. In about a month, a little over a month. Why are we saying this? To realize what God wants us to realize. If there's a warning there, we want to realize it. We want to react to it. If it's not for us personally, it may be for one of our closest friends or loved ones, maybe depending on us to express that to them, perhaps to lead them to the Lord. NASA has calculated and advised the dates as follows. April the 15th, 2014, the first of the four blood moons. Now, I may have expressed that as new moons while ago, and really probably should be just stated as blood moons, because a new moon would implies the first day of the month, and that would be incorrect. So we're talking about four blood moons, not four blood new moons. So we'll establish that and go from there. April the 15th, 2014 is the first one. October the 8th, 2014 is the second. Then you go to March the 20th of next year, which is not that far away. March the 20th, 2015 is the complete eclipse of the sun. April the 4th, 2015 is the third of the four blood moons. And finally, September the 28th, 2015, is the fourth and last of the four blood moons at this 2014-2015 period of time. Now notice that what I'm saying is what NASA has established as dates for this thing, that these things to happen. Did you know that, I don't know how many of y'all have ever done this, but have you ever got a copy of the Farmer's Almanac? You ever looked at that? Do you know that this will verify when you look in here? And I look in here at page 38 It says eclipses for 2014. And one of the very first things that it says, April the 14th, 15th, this year, is a total eclipse of the moon. And then October the 8th is a total eclipse of the moon. So you not only have NASA, and who knows if the almanac got this information from NASA or determined it on their own, but I'm just saying it's a verification from those two sources of what I've just explained to you, or at least this year. Now, also what some of this means is it's not saying that every eye on earth will see this that we're speaking of, nor that they will see it the same. That is, the visuals will not, they're not saying that every eye is going to see it exactly alike, or that the ones who will observe the same visuals will be exactly alike, or for the same amount of time. It will vary depending on where you are on the earth. And there are places on the earth which, if you were there, you would not see this total eclipse like you will here. Obviously, though, these are events will be distinctive enough that they will be greatly observed, and I would think greatly reported on. Is it coincidental that these events are occurring at the times of the appointed days of the Lord? They are occurring for the first time in the recorded history of the earth on the appointed days of the Lord. Some of them in this year and next. Is it coincidental? Or are these warnings from God to the people of the earth of things shortly to come? April the 15th, the first of the four blood moons, is Passover 2014. October the 8th, 2014 is the second. Tabernacle time, 2014. March the 20th, 2015, the complete eclipse of the sun, is the spring equinox, 2015. April the 4th, 2015, the third of the four blood moons, Passover time, 2015. September the 28th, 2015, the fourth and final of the four blood moons for this year and next. Tabernacle time, 2015. Can you see how that these seem to be so likely signs and wonders from God to us and to the world, to all the people of the world? Let's have a few more scriptures. Signs identifying God's family. Obviously, if you're not trying to be one of God's family and you're not in God's family and you know it, then these signs would probably mean little to you. But signs identifying God's family. Let's go to Exodus 31, 13 and 17. Exodus 31, 13 and 17. But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. What is the one and only day that God's law, his royal Ten Commandments, tell us to remember? The weekly Sabbath day. It's a sign between God and his people or his family. Let's go to Exodus 20 and 12. I guess I should say here too. We've read within the last Sabbath or two how you identify God's family. It's what I think it's in Galatians where the scripture says, if you have belief in God and his only begotten Son, Yeshua, and you accept his plan, then you become one of his. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. You're either in or out. You're either in God's family or you're not in his family. But you become in his family through your belief in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua. And as such, you are also one of Abraham's descendants, one of his seed. You are a child of God. You are in the family. You are a son of Judah. You are a son of Israel. You're in God's family. You're his child. That's the bottom line through this obedience to God and his way and his laws. And your belief in his plan and the belief in the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Yeshua. Let's look at Deuteronomy 4 and 34. Or has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Does that mean that it don't apply if you didn't go directly through God's deliverance for the sons of Israel being in slavery in Egypt? Do you discard yourself as that because your ancestry was not? We cannot do that because we become a son or daughter in the family of God by his plan of being providing us a sacrifice for our sins through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Signs identifying God's family. Now let's go to signs of God's protection and deliverance for his family. Deuteronomy 7 and 19. Let's see what that says. The great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Yahweh is saying to you, don't be afraid. You're one of my family. You're my son or daughter. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to deliver you. I am all you need. Believe in me. Trust in me. Let's look at signs of the last days. Acts 2:17 first. Acts 2:17, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Have you heard of ones through the years that has experienced this? Of course. Let's go to Acts 19 through 21. Acts 2, and we were right at it. Acts 2:19. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of the smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. 21st. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you see the connection? Do you see how important that this could be? At the very least, a warning from God. The days are short. Something is coming. Be ready. Notice that this that we've just read is probably first used in Joel 2:30 and 31. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Are we in difficult times? For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, holding on to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such as these. Have you ever read such a list explaining and separating the sheep from the goats? Are we living in a time period like that now? And has there ever been in all of recorded history any time more near like what we've just read? Let's look at 2 Peter 3:3-4. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Mockers. People that say it's been done away with. It's of no effect. It's really about evolution, not the Word of God. And they believe that. How sad that is. Isaiah 44:7-8. Isaiah 44:7-8. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it, and you are my witnesses? Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. The sequence of the last days. Let's go there. The sequence of the last days. And look at the words of Jesus. What better of a source? Matthew 24:21. And we're going to be going 21, 22, 24, 29 through 31, and 36 through 44. Matthew 24:21. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Now let's go to verse 29, start there. But, and notice the sequence of the events here, because some will say things that will mislead you in this regard. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Does that give you pause for thinking? Now let's go to verse 36, and we're going 36 through 44. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Now listen to this. No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. And so will the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill and one will be taken and the one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Those were the words of Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What's coming this particular year of 2014 and next year, 2015, my information has that it's never happened before in all of recorded history of the earth. So I want you to take these scriptures of the Bible, think about God's use of the moon, the sun, things that we observe in the heavens, and let it be to help you do all you can to be watching and waiting and ready. If you would rise with me and let's have a little prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here. We ask your blessings on them. We thank you for this message of the signs and the wonders that you use for your purpose. And Heavenly Father, each one that's listening today in this congregation or that is listening to this over the means of the internet, we ask that they will take this message to heart. And if this applies to them, that they are not ready and do not recognize you, we ask that they come to their senses and realize that they need you. Each day, now and forever, will be a better day with you than without you. And Heavenly Father, let them take it to heart to such a degree that they will want to be in your family. And Lord, let them respond to these warnings and to this call. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. Let's read the blessings of God to us and us to each other. Read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Wonderful, wonderful words.